This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS, the Great Homer Experiment.
Just call me, hi, Hitler.
Best pizza is in another castle.
Bright pink is older than you are.
Tom's tech time and recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How about you, Wally? Where do you fit in all this?
Oh, I'm a one-man team that does a job with no glory attached. I gather the props together, and boy, what a headache.
You sound like you need a helper. Could I lend a hand?
Would you? I mean, would you really?
Sure, I'd like it. I don't know anything about props, but I could learn.
Hello, inner tubers!
The Morning Stream! The Morning Stream! The Morning Stream!
The Morning Stream. Save it for the French.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for October 17th, 2018. Scott Johnson here. Brian Ibbett there.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good, good. Except I'm here. You're there. But
oh, did I do it backwards?
Before. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm here. You're there.
Oh, right.
You said that I was there, but clearly I'm not there.
You're
I'm
here. Wait. Oh, I see. Because from your perspective, you're here.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Hey, what chat room? What are you? There's a lot of weird things being said, and I'm not going to try to translate them. Hey, let's get to it. It's a time for another show. Welcome to the Morning Stream. Busy week. Lots going on. And today's Wednesday. It means we gotta get to it. We gotta lay it down. We gotta flatten it out. We gotta cook it just right. And we gotta take it out and then cut it and serve it. And please,
right.
Everybody.
Well, put sauce on it. Put sauce on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's dry.
Always sauce. Always sauce it up. That's what I say. hey, I did an experiment. You want to hear about my science experiment?
All right. Yeah. Wow.
You're like my science high school teacher. Not just because he was totally bald. That's not why.
Okay. Because I'm bald. Everybody's bald. Everybody looks bald the same.
He was.
I didn't say that right. Everybody who's bald looks the same. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you something funny.
Everybody looks bald the same.
Since we were just talking about that yesterday, it reminded me of something else. So,
yeah.
A longtime listener named Jack sent me a tweet this morning. He's about two episodes behind on the show. And, but, you know, that's pretty good, I think. I think if you're keeping up that well, I think you're doing all right. And he said, hey, now that the president is calling women horse faces, are you going to stop calling Sarah Jessica Parker a horse face?
I didn't hear about this. President called some woman a horse face.
Oh, you didn't hear about this? It was talked about it yesterday a little bit. But she it's what's her name, the porno actress lady that he paid off.
Oh, Stormy.
Stormy Daniels there. So in a tweet he says, okay, so their lawsuit was thrown out. Now I can go after Horseface and her 2-bit lawyer. Is what he said.
Holy.
Yeah, it was pretty hardcore. Wow. So now, because he's done that, I there's no way I'm going to call anyone a horse face again. I'm never going to do it.
You don't want to be, you want to be like labeled, lumped in the same group as President Cheeto.
No, I don't want to do that. It's freaking, it's mean. So I'm not doing it anymore. So thanks, Jack, for the reminder. All right, so here's my experiment.
Yes.
There's been a lot of discussion over the years about The Simpsons. And it's 30-year run, and whether or not it's any good anymore, you know? Like, a lot of people who came of age, like at season 8 or 9, say that nothing's good after that. Well, I say it's because you had puberty. I think it changed your whole worldview, so you just don't like
it. You changed. The world didn't change. You changed.
Yeah, you changed, and you just can't recognize it. Or other people like me who, I guess I was 18 or something when the thing premiered proper. I saw the Tracy Ullman stuff, I guess, before that, but excuse me. Some of us have stuck with it through that entire time, and I won't say that every episode's amazing because there's too many to say that that's even possible. Statistically, it's impossible. But I think it's held up just fine, and I tend to catch new episodes, and I don't understand what the big deal is. And obviously, the show's popular enough that they keep it on the air for eternity, okay? So I also think we owe The Simpsons a lot in terms of how it changed primetime comedy and animation specifically, and I think it ushered in a whole new world of entertainment. So all of that on the side, I thought I need to just test my own theory that it's still good or not good. Mm-hmm. And with the help of a, let's call them Plex friend, I was able to go back to what many believe to be the prime era. And I would agree with them. The really amazing seasons like season 4 and 5 and that in there.
Yeah.
So I went and watched 2 episodes of season 4. The Halloween episode, which was great. Was the one with the free Frogurt, that one.
Oh, best one, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And then...
Gremlins, yeah.
Yeah, and it was... By the way, the thing that he sends him home with, I forgot what that was. It was a Krusty doll. So they mashed...
Oh, right, so it was the Twilight Zone thing, too.
Mm-hmm. So they met... Well, yeah. I don't know about Twilight Zone. It was more like...
It was the episode of Twilight Zone with the talking Tina doll that hated
the guy. You're right. That may have been it. I was thinking more like Chucky. So maybe it's like 3 things together.
Kind of 3 things, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's very funny and very good and great. And I watched that, and I watched a regular episode. And then I jumped to the most recent available season, and I watched the same seasonal order of an episode plus a Halloween episode. This would have been from 2017, I guess.
So basically, you watched 2 episodes from season 4 and then 2 episodes from a more recent season.
Season
29. One of which, in each case, was the Halloween episode.
Yeah, yeah. Just so I could compare them and say, well, here's roughly the same
It wasn't like
era.
The first episode of the season and the Halloween episode. It was just a random episode from the...
Yeah. It was the one, which it's whatever is the one right before the Halloween one. So I don't know what number.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you are... Gotcha.
I don't know what number that is, but it's like, you know, whatever that is. So...
Sure.
I did that. And... I am here to tell you, again, it's a subjective thing, and I know that other people can have weird opinions, and that's fine. Everyone have your opinions. I enjoyed it just as much, the new thing, as I enjoyed the old thing. I don't think they've lost their way. I think it's still funny. I think it's still relevant, and I had a great time with it. I understand when things get old, people tend to put it out to pasture, especially in our culture. We tend to do this. Like, we don't... Nobody cares about... Who's the guy that used to do voice impressions in the like 60s and 70s? It was very popular. Who was that guy? He did Reagan and stuff.
Oh, well, you're talking about... You're not talking about Rich Little, are you?
Rich like Little, that's the guy.
Older than Rich Little? Okay.
Rich Little.
Rich Little was more 70s and 80s.
Okay, so Rich Little, where is he now? Who cares now? Well, some old lady in Branson, right?
Actually, he's got a tenure. He's got a residency at the Tropicana, last I saw.
Okay, so he's in Vegas. A step up even. He's not on every primetime sketch show. He's not, and they don't even have those anymore, but like his day, his peak has come and gone because people have decided, oh, no, now it's time to move on to something new. That's old business. And I understand how people might look at a 30-year-old animated television show and say, oh, it's well past its prime. I understand that. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. But I am telling you, like, sight unseen, just grab the episode out of the ether and see it and watch it and see if it's funny. It was freaking funny. It was good. Cool. I enjoyed it. So, look, come at me. At me if you need to. I'm just saying, Simpsons holds up, and I wish it was streaming someplace more convenient than that FFX app, because I don't want to buy it.
Yeah, right.
I'd rather just have it be somewhere easy, but it's great. And so, take that, everyone who hates it. It's still funny.
It's funny. I mean, he was the dude. Like, he, Rich Little, back in the 70s, every roast... Every game show, and wherever there was a celebrity, wherever you could have a guest celebrity appearance, Rich Little was the dude.
Yeah. Was he, though? I remember him feeling... I felt like we were catching his tail end. Were we not? Was he bigger than I thought then? Because it seemed
I think
like...
he was bigger. I mean, I feel like his... it looks like he started a year's active, 1963 to present. Well, he's active.
Yeah, he's active. He's still doing things. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, but I'm trying to see, like, wow, he was a regular on the Julie Andrews Hour. Do you remember there being a Julie Andrews Hour?
No.
1972 and 1973?
No idea what that is.
Regular on the Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts. Yeah, that I remember. Okay. Julie Here's something. Hour. This is bizarre. We all know he did the President Nixon. That was, like, one of his famous impressions was President Nixon.
Sure.
On the... soap opera Santa Barbara, he appeared as Nixon in 1991 as the ideal sperm donor in some character named Gina's fantasies.
Wait, so, as Nixon?
As Nixon. So, a character on the soap opera Santa Barbara was having fantasies about a sperm donor, and they got Rich Little to play Richard Nixon.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Someone in the chat says he's all like Fox News guy now. Is he?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. These guys, they all get old and go, I'm hardcore conservative now.
What about the parents on Fox News? Does that really mean that he's...
I don't know. Is he a commentator?
A Fox News guy?
That means he, I think he comes on and does commentary. You know, they do that with people. Right? They bring in like freaking Steven Seagal or like, who was the other guy I last saw that was like, Chuck Woolery is all up in the far right business now.
Is he really?
Yeah. You should read his Twitter. That guy's, he's all up in it. Yeah.
We'll be back for the elections in 2 and 2. Wow, look at Rich Little is actually starting to look like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I think he might be Ronald Reagan at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if his political commentary doesn't include impersonations of everybody. And then Lindsey Graham was like, hey, I don't want to see this kind of argument going on in the Supreme Court nomination. Mm-hmm. And then Trump was like, yes, I don't want to see this thing, and we got to get him in. And then Judge Kavanaugh was like, I'm going to scooch up my face. Like, if he's not doing impressions of every single person on the panel.
Then what is he on for? Exactly. What do we have him on for?
Exactly. Why is he our political pundit?
Yeah. If you're going to make him a talking head, make him a imitation talking head. He's just doing everybody. That'd be great. Anyway, it's not what I meant, pants arsonist. I didn't mean he was far right. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Okay? Let's not pretend we don't know what I mean. Okay, so that was an interesting experience, and I would recommend people try it if you want to see whether or not your beloved old cartoon has held up these many decades later. And I say that it has.
Watch an older episode of it, and from when you remember it most fondly, compare it then and to now is what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. All right. Also, people have been using the P.O. box, and some of you are like, what P.O. box? What?
What have they been using it for, Scott?
Well, they've been sending stuff.
The man's sleeping in there.
I got some film sack DVDs I need to send to all you guys now. Ooh. I've got some other stuff waiting. I haven't actually seen any of it. It's waiting over there. And I'll get it. But there's a brand new P.O. box that anybody anywhere can send stuff to if you wanna. And it's super simple. You just go over to frogpants.com and just look on the contact page, or just go to /contact over there and you'll see it. It's just an address. It's listed there publicly. You can send whatever you want. And we'd be happy to, you know, check it out. So it's just to make that whole process easier. You don't have to worry about how big or small it might be. You just send it. There's a new P.O. box. Boom.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, the P.O. the postnet that the Coverville P.O. box is at. I told you this when we were chatting over text about postnet and P.O. boxes.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that a place that just does mailing services for you and has P.O. boxes could have such bile thrown at it on the internet. But my PostNet has a horrible Yelp score. I mean, I know why it is. There's kind of a, I don't know.
It's a guy, kind of, right? It's some dude, you said.
The guy that owns it is, I think... He gets nickeled and dimed by UPS and the U.S. Postal Service and stuff like that.
Sure.
And he just carries that right on, and kind of that anger against it right onto the customer. So if you look at the Arvada, what would be the address? 64th Avenue PostNet Yelp.
Mm.
It's actually pretty funny because not only is everybody complaining about this guy, but then he responds to almost every Yelp with, well, you're the one who came in and expected me to box up your stuff for free and give you packing peanuts and shove stuff in there for you when you didn't have your stuff packed up. I remember you.
Wait a minute. He's barking these complaints at you.
Well, not at me.
Oh, at people. Oh, he'll go into the Yelp. I gotcha. So he'll go into Yelp. He'll go into Yelp and you yell back at them for negative Yelps. I get
it. Scott, are you getting distracted by the chat room?
No. No, I was confused. I thought you meant you were saying things, and he was coming after you. Like, what has he done to you, though? What's he done to you?
He he charges me. Oh, so if I get a box or a package that doesn't fit in my P.O. box, and I've got a P.O. box that can easily handle CDs and DVDs and stuff like that. It's kind of the not the smallest, but the next size up.
Yeah.
Because I get a lot of CDs, and it would be kind of dumb for me not to be able to have something that can help hold CDs.
Right.
But if I get a package sent there that is bigger than that, then he'll call me the day it arrives, leave a message for me. And if for whatever reason I can't go pick it up within 2 days, then I start paying $2 a day for them to store it.
What does he call you when he calls you? Does he call you Mr. Ibbett? What does he call you?
Brian, you got a package here that doesn't fit in your P.O. box. Come on, pick that up today.
Just that voice tells me everything I need to know.
And if you don't, what was the other thing? If somebody goes to my website and gets the address and they have like the street address, the city, state, zip code, my name, Coverville on there, all that stuff, but they forget to put on my box number.
Yeah.
Then he sends it back.
Really? Like but
says,
he knows.
If it says Brian Ibbett, Coverville, 1490, blah, 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 whatever, 64th Avenue, Arvada, Colorado, 8007. Even if it has Brian Ibbett and Coverville on it,
he knows it's you.
He knows it's me.
Well, then yes.
He says that it's, I can't, legally I can't accept it.
Oh,
I have
my
to send it
gosh.
Back, so make sure. But he doesn't do it like sometimes he will tell me very nicely, Brian, the people are sending you stuff or forgetting to put on the P.O. box number. I had to send back 3 things today. It's like, well, what?
Now, wait a minute. You're talking to me. You know that it's me. That's terrible.
It is terrible.
I'm annoyed by that.
Yeah.
Chat room says unfortunately, that's the whole point of them is they're supposed to hold your packages regardless.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I mean, this place is super, super convenient. It's like walking distance. I don't want to say how close it is because then people can pinpoint my address. I don't care. But, I mean, it's 2-3 blocks away from my house. I can walk there and go get stuff and get it back. But go pick up stuff. But, yeah.
I'm really
glad you've got a nice postnet.
I think so far as nice lady. She calls up and says, hey, you got a little deal going.
And really, he's just trying to make a living like everybody else. And, if he can't do it, it's just funny that he comes across so Newman, so Newman-esque.
Yeah, very Newman. I was going to say Newman or like, who else is like this? Like the comic book
Cliff
guy.
Cliff Clavin was a little bit,
If he was a bigger jerk. Yeah,
put a postage on it, so I had to send it back.
Yeah. I hate that. It's not my kind of, it's the personality type I clash with the most. So good luck with that. Have fun with that. Speaking of mail, real quick here. Have you ever been porch pirated? You ever had a porch pirate?
Or no.
You haven't
amazed.
Had that done? Okay.
No, but I've got, I sound like Joe Paranoia, but I've got the Ring doorbell. So any movement on the doorstep and I got, video of that.
Yeah.
But then I also, because I work downstairs and I don't have windows, I have a whole computer screen that is my front lawn. And we've talked about this before. Like I've watched the neighbor back into my trash cans before.
Yep.
Talked about it on this very show. And that also notifies me if there's movement. So, there's cameras all over the damn place, Scott. Nobody's getting near my house without me knowing about it.
So you're better off than I am.
Been porch pirated. Have you?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know for sure though. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like there's never been
a situation where something was reported to get all the way to me and then disappear.
Right. I did have something that got here or supposedly got here and they said they dropped it off, but it went to a neighbor, but that's not the same. And I ended up getting it. And I've had stuff lost in the mail that never arrived, but I've never had anything come to the door, Amazon or whatever, and then have somebody take it. But I'm hearing like that's on the uptick, like it's getting real bad for a lot of places and people.
Yeah, it's
Christmas.
It's getting
especially.
Really bad, like especially around Christmas time. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I bring it up is I was A, curious if it had ever happened to you, and B, like, would it do me any good to have camera footage of some guy in a hoodie who just comes, runs up and grabs it and takes off? Like, what good will it do me?
If you can see their car, then that helps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, even with the Ring doorbell, somebody runs up, grabs it, runs back. It's not like you've got enough time to go up and get it. Yeah. However, the cool thing about my setup is that if something arrives and I'm here, I go up and get it immediately. Like I see the UPS truck pull up and I start going up the stairs now so that I can go and get it when the guy gets up to the door. Mm. Usually freaks him out too. He's like, oh, hey, because it looks like I'm just waiting at the door for a delivery because I open the door as he's walking up the steps. But yeah.
All right. Maybe I need to up my game that way. I don't know why I'm even thinking about it. It just seems like thing to worry about, I guess.
I wonder if there's a way to do to make some sort of, you know, they've got the security mailboxes where obviously you can drop stuff in the little slot and then you need a key to open it up. I mean, I guess you could do some sort of bin.
Yeah, you could do a big bin. I'm sure they make those. I'm sure that's
a thing. But
a lot
but
of people
again,
what if you did like an airlock style deal, like the I know somebody who's done this, but basically you'd have to build it into your house, but you have a door that's openable by everybody, and then there's a little space in there, and then another door. And so the idea is they would come in when there's nothing in there. They would put in their boxes, and when they leave, the door shutting would lock. And then you would come from the other side of the ship, or your house, to the airlock, open it, pull it out through. So you'd have like a little in-between space.
That's great if you only get one thing a day. Like if you get a UPS and a FedEx on the same day, then you're screwed.
Yeah, that's a
good point. Need is like a slot that they can put something, you know, fairly large into, a decent-sized box, but the bottom is like a trap door.
Yeah.
So as soon as they put it in, that trap door lowers, it slides down the trap door, and then the trap door flaps back up.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's kind of how mailboxes work in the city, right? They have that weird flap thing.
Exactly. Load the ones that you pull down and put the mail in. There's no way you can snake your arm around that business.
Okay, we've solved it. We've got to figure it out.
Drenched Wildfire, cap this audio. I don't know
talking about door
I say
things.
That it's probably not the tone in which you intended it, but still.
I'm a big fan of pneumatic tubes, but you'd have to have a much bigger pneumatic tube to handle boxes and things. But I'd love the idea of it like a shunk and having it fly through a pipe and then show up down here for me. Oh, that'd be super cool.
Donnie thinks magnets. By the way, Gutter is a Tool says, or you guys could just get real jobs and have it shipped to the office.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's entirely true. Let's do that. Let's get real
Gutter is a Tool. What about Saturday deliveries, huh?
Yeah, what are you going to do then? What about those weird Sunday ones I get sometimes, Gutter is a Tool? What about those? Yeah, I get those now. Oh, tomorrow my 3/4, whatever the hell they call it, the big arcade cabinets that getting it tomorrow. I'm so excited.
You ordered one of those?
Yeah.
Which one did you get?
Back in like June. So I ordered the Rampage machine, not for Rampage though.
Right.
Because that one has Joust.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably ordered the one that would have Joust on it.
Which
so
is
see
kind
what else
of,
that one's got
it's
on
It's kind
it.
Of dumb because I'm just going to hack it and fill it full of MAME ROMs anyway.
Can you do that? Is there
sure
a way to do that?
I'm sure there's a way to do it.
I'm really excited to see big, tall Scott Johnson at a 3/4 size.
Well, I actually have a question about that. If it's 3/4 size, but it's scaled, right? It's a scale thing.
Right.
Wouldn't it be, let's see, would I have to?
Do it's
I have
4 feet tall, basically. So
I have to stand in front of it or what? What's my deal?
I would think you're going to get a little stool and squat and sit on the stool in front of it. Put it in front of the toilet. I think that seems like the perfect place.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That's a great idea. I need to get a picture of that and everything. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, 4 feet to me. So the top of the arcade machine is going to come up right to the bottom of my chest.
Yeah. The chat room says there's a riser on it.
You can buy a riser.
Okay.
You can separately buy a riser.
Oh, you have to buy it by itself, though.
Yeah, comes with Helen Hunt. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
See, get it? Paul Reiser. Get it, everybody?
Yeah,
just in case they didn't get it.
No, but you do have to buy it separately. You can get a little riser, but still. Yeah, I can't wait. So yours, it's actually got Rampage Gauntlet. Gauntlet's fun. Yeah. Joust and Defender.
Yeah, Defender's awesome. It's a good, that's why I picked that one.
Really killed them to put Stargate on there, too, if they're going to have Defender.
I agree. There's a few on there. There's other, like Robotron would have been great, or... whatever. Yeah. Like, they need more than 5 freaking ancient games. But that's why I'm gonna hack the poop out of it. And they and you can't. You totally can. It'd be a piece of cake. You can hack anything. I could take my Switch right now and hack it. I don't want to, but I could.
Yeah, I mean, it's just got to be like a little Arduino box, or not Arduino, but like a Raspberry box or something in there driving it.
Well, even if it's more basic than that, it'd just be a matter. Yeah, you could tear out the entire guts of it and just keep the controllers and the display and put a whole new thing in there. Like,
yeah.
And I have one of those just sitting here waiting to be to have something done with it. I don't know. I have to think about it. But they had some other models as well. I can't remember what they were. This just seemed like the most. It had the stuff that I like the most for when I plug it in. So,
and this will tide you over until you and Steve get that big arcade machine finished.
Yeah, mainly the thing here was it's pretty inexpensive, you know.
Yeah, yeah, $300 is not bad at all for all this.
So, and they went, you know, they went on sale. If you hurried up, you could get one, but then they were delayed and then backordered to hell and back because everybody wants one. And I got an email yesterday saying your thing will be here on the 18th. So. Mm-hmm. Very excited.
At the very least, you should be able to go get a Raspberry Pi, put the Pi Arcade stuff on there, and plug it into the monitor and the controls. Like, connect the controls.
That's
and
what
monitor.
I'm saying. So that's exactly what I'm saying. I think I can just swap that. Whatever that is, whatever the play unit is, just swap it out.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, exactly. They may have some weird proprietary controller stuff. I don't know. But we'll find out when I get it. We'll make a little project out of it, everybody.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to see how this goes.
Yeah. Hopefully it goes well. All right. Shall we call Brian Dunaway?
Let's call Brian Dunaway.
I agree. This should be a good time. We'll get him in here. Have a little bit of fun. Dunaway, are you there already?
Oh, hi, Scott.
Oh, he's Brian. Already there. Jeez Louisa. All right, here you go. Hey, Dunaway, what's tooting your horn today? How's it going?
Get off my horn.
Ah, good.
Stop tooting it.
Stay off your horn. Good idea, everyone. Hey, it's Brian Dunaway, everybody. We're playing Babel Royale here on the show. And that's a little game we play with you. If you call this number, 801-471-0462, it's right there on your screen for those watching live. You could be today's big wiener. Now, big test today of the system to make sure this is going to work okay. I think it will. But I won't know till one of you calls. So call that number.
Oh, right. We still haven't had...
I think I got it. Okay, we're going to try it. Right. Let's see if this worked. You guys aren't hearing me all buzzy or anything, are you?
No, so far you sound great.
Okay, that's good. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sean the Sean.
Hello, Sean the Sean. It worked.
It works. Yay. I can hear Sean the Sean.
All right, I know what I have to do next time. It's an order in which I open things, which sounds stupid, I know it's stupid. It's something with the OS update. It's pissing me off. Anyway, Sean the Sean, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here. Where do you hail from, generally speaking?
I'm also here in Salt Lake with you, Scott.
Oh, that's right. All right, Salt Lake City. Beautiful outside, cold as too cold, right? Isn't that the deal?
Actually, I haven't left my house yet because I'm working from home.
The last couple of days, I'll just say this. Last couple of days, some of the most beautiful days I've seen in the state and city.
Big bright.
All right, we're back. We're back. The thing's being dumb again. Sean the Sean, if you're in the chat room, you're going to still get to answer stuff here. All right. Oh, it says he is. Or they're saying he is.
They're saying he is, but I haven't. Is that the Thomas Herlofsen?
I don't know. Is that him? Thomas Herlofsen?
Or is it? Brain Broke Bride, I know, isn't.
Revenge of the Bees. All right. Well, someone will pipe up. Before we do that, Brian, will you explain how this is going to work and what he could win remotely without him being here?
Yes. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer or repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a prize pack that includes some tea from the Phoenix Pearl Tea Shop in Montana. It's awesome. Scott and I can both verify.
Yep, confirmed.
Confirm, verify.
Yep.
As well as a Frog Pants pack directly from Scott, which is great because you're in Salt Lake City. Just drive by his house and pick it up. Nah. You don't even need to call first. Just show up, and he prefers anytime after 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Just show up. I'll come upstairs in my skivvies and hand you a box. All right, that sounds like a fine little prize. What's our topic?
Topic today, and Sean the Sean is now in the chat room. Topic today comes from TMS Mashups, Jamie again. The top 15 actors and actresses sorted by the number of episodes they appeared in for Star Trek The Next Generation. So Star Trek The Next Generation, actors and actresses, the top 15 sorted by the number of episodes in which they appeared.
Now, this include the main cast, or is this just the guest stars?
This includes the main cast.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
176 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Is that all there was? That's all there was?
That's all there was, yeah.
Oh, that seems low for seven seasons.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
And we're just going to characters. We don't have to do actors, right? I mean,
you're just doing characters. Yes. Right? You probably could do actors. But
yeah.
Actually, I take that back. I want you to do actors because...
Because you just
yes,
want to
I
see
want
a
you to do. I do want you to do actors.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I'll do actors.
So sorry. Yes, actors is what I want.
All right.
Actors
well,
is what I want. Yeah.
Actors is what I want. Sean the Sean, you're in the chat room there. I want you to tell us who you think is going to come out on top on this one, and let us know who you want to start.
Yeah,
between.
I would agree.
All right. Sean the Sean is choosing you, Scott.
Okay. Oof.
I choose you, Scott. Achoo.
All right.
And who would you like to go first?
He is he's going with the local because we got to stick together.
That's right. Salt Lake City represent.
Represent. He's coming. He's got it. I know I can just feel it coming about
Dunaway
he wants
start.
Dunaway to start. All right.
All right.
Let's do it. Dunaway.
Make sure I get this question right.
Yeah.
Yes. I want actors and actresses.
Uh-huh. Actors and actresses' names who appeared on Star Trek The Next Generation in order... Top 15 order of most appearances.
Correct. And you don't have to give me answers in order. I just pick anyone from the top 15.
Why do we separate actors and actresses anymore? Why can't we just say actors? This is a separate question. Like, what does it matter? Like, they're all actors.
Because then we'd have just a best actors category, and there'd be 14 people in the Oscars.
Well, yeah, but couldn't they do best male actor, best female actor? Or best...
Could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it's... To me... Sounds like
top 15 humans. No, you can't do that because.
No, but you don't have to separate them. You can just say whoever now. Like, it's not even to this thing, it's not even germane. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm going with it.
A lot of people who agree with you on that and want it just to be top five actors and not top five male actors, top five actresses.
But that's not related to our trivia.
No. Yeah. Nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this.
I'm going to go with my favorite Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc. Picard.
Of course. All 176 episodes. It'd be silly if he didn't.
Right. You can't tell us now, I guess. It like was he's gotta be number one, right?
He is
number one. You can't have.
I'm a little surprised he was in every single one. I would have thought there would have been a couple of those where he just wasn't on, wasn't part of the deal. Right. That surprises me. In fact, I'm almost sure that there was an episode where Picard wasn't there.
There was an episode without.
Yeah. But
you're probably wrong.
I don't know why I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel like he was.
Now there was an
there.
Episode where he wasn't there, but there was a picture of him next to one of the other.
Is it like that?
There was one. There were episodes where he like I think there was like where he flew somewhere.
Yeah, but they always showed him like at the beginning, right?
They showed him at the beginning. Yes.
Yeah.
You've got the comms. I'm leaving. Take good care. What are my plans?
So Sub Rosa, the chat room brought it up as well. That one, I don't remember him in there at all in Sub Rosa, but maybe I don't remember that episode very well. There must have been some sort of welcome back, Dr. Crusher. How was your trip down to Ghost Lady?
Somebody's just asking Sub Rosa question mark.
Mm. Well, that's what I mean. He's asking if that's one where he wasn't there. Anyway, doesn't matter. Commander Riker, played by Jonathan Frakes.
Correct. Also 176 episodes.
And on one of those, he would have been two people. Tom Riker. What was his who's the brother?
Right.
Whatever it was. The other Riker brother was on there.
Riker brothers.
Yeah. What was his name? Thomas Riker? Thomas.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Was it?
Thomas Riker?
Yeah. He had a brother. Riker? So there was an episode where he got his thing got stuck in the teleporter and it pooped out two of him.
his pattern,
and it pooped out two of them from the pattern, a copy, and it was a Riker clone, and the Riker's name was Tom, and the clone's name was Thomas. That's it. Yeah, he was Will Riker, and the clone's name was Thomas. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
All right. So, Frakes is there. Mm-hmm. Michael Dorn, Mr. Worf, he's always there. Mm. And it's Worf, not Mr. Worf. I know I'm just...
Mr. Worf.
I forget he's... when I joke around with trivia, it gets very serious. He gets very serious. You can't...
No, there's no messing around. Michael Dorn, 176 episodes. So very good. You guys are making your way down the list.
All right.
Michael J. Dorn.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You didn't. Seven Tyro 67 in the chat room said he used his middle initial, didn't he? And I said, no, it's just Michael Dorn.
Marina Sirtis.
Marina Sirtis. Chancellor Deanna Troi.
Yeah.
Correct. Also, 176 episodes.
Captain, this planet makes me feel funny. That was her job
for
the first.
Don't worry. Everybody on this list has not been in all 176 episodes.
Right, right.
You just happen to be picking the top few.
Yeah, right. There's a few that I know that were very important characters, but there were times when they weren't there that are kind of on my list. Okay, so I'm going to go with Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton.
Correct. Very good. Lieutenant Rainbow. Commander Jordi LaForge, 176 episodes for him as well.
Okay. Data. Hold on a second.
You said it first and you can't remember his name now. Oh no.
No, I screwed it up.
It's Johnny Jack. Is his name.
Shush. You're gonna mess me up. Brent Spiner.
Wow, very good.
Oh my gosh, that hurt to say.
I know how that is. Like when you've got it on the tip of your tongue, you're like, oh my god, I know this. What? And
right.
Dunaway is a great defensive move, like throw another name. Can't remember anybody else ever doing that to anybody.
Yeah.
Also, 176 episodes, and I will tell you now, you guys have named the top six, all tied for first place, all 176 episodes.
Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so this is where it gets a little more tricky.
That one surprised me. I would have thought that there were episodes where one of those six people were not in there.
Right,
I'm convinced they are. I want to have it. We got to do some science after this episode because I swear there's some.
Well, you know, we should ask Trek Nerd. We should ask Daryl.
Oh. Yeah, maybe he'd know.
Yeah,
right.
Probably not.
You think he would know?
No.
Of course he would know. He'll just run that right through his little system.
Yeah.
And he'll do and it'll just pop right out.
Yeah.
All right. So now keep going, and that is Brian's turn.
Dunaway. Yeah, it's his turn.
I know she was there much more. All right. For some reason, I'm getting a little worried about this one. Okay. Gates McFadden.
Gates?
Yeah. McFadden. Beverly Crusher.
Number 7 on the list, of course. 155 episodes.
The reason she missed a ton is she was gone the whole second season.
She was. And that's why I was getting a little concerned. I was like, oh, what's that?
Yeah. She made up for it.
Got Dr. Pulaski in there for her.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh boy, we are getting down to the pickings here,
mm-hmm. Right? Because that there's your primary core cast.
Yep,
and we've pretty much covered all those, and after that it gets kind of shaky.
All right, I'm getting nervous about this one, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Wesley, Will Wheaton.
Yeah, you gotta
Will Wheaton.
You gotta do Will Wheaton.
86 episodes. That puts him at number 9 on the list. He's still in the top 15.
Okay,
right.
I knew he had to be somewhere in there.
Yep. Very good. Back to Brian.
Will Wheaton.
There's a... I'm a little concerned.
About...
God, it seems like I remember so much of... So many episodes later, like... what was that? I think she didn't come in until, like, either season 2 or season 3... But she was in almost every episode after that. They always had like a little cameo with her.
Who?
I'm feeling a little Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
Whoopi Goldberg.
She was in there a lot after. I think it wasn't like until the second or third season, but every episode, Riker was usually down there, you know, and she would. She was the person they bounced everything off of. But
yeah, she had advice. She was the bartender type.
The final thought of the episode. Well, right. You know, sometimes when you try the hardest is when you need to try the least or whatever. Mm-hmm. 29 episodes for Whoopi Goldberg, putting her right at 13.
Oh, ooh. That's interesting. Okay, now I feel a little better about the range here. Because yep. I would have thought, I was going to say that may be wrong. And so the fact that she's still scooched
that was,
in there.
That was, ooh. Okay. That made my feet sweat.
This is pushing it, but I'll say, because I don't want to lump his DS9 time in there, but I'll say Miles O'Brien played by Cole Meany. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
52 episodes for Chief Miles O'Brien.
Really?
Putting him at number 10 in the list.
Okay. I would have thought he would have been less, but I guess yeah, he was around for a good while, wasn't he?
Yeah. Keiko and all that.
Right.
Right.
Klinger's ex-wife.
Wow, we are down to it now because
yeah,
I really can't.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names still left on this list.
Right. I'm gonna throw one out there, and I just feel like this is gonna be like she's gonna be like 50 or something. How about Denise Crosby?
Oh,
Denise Crosby.
Before she got ate by the Black Pool. I mean, yeah. She made it all the way to like season 2.
Or
that's
something.
That's when they brought in Whoopi Goldberg was the kind of.
Yeah, but in theory, you're like, the trade-off. That's potentially 48 episodes or so, so you might be okay.
Yeah, it was a couple of seasons, like 2 or 3.
She was actually on 35 episodes as Lieutenant Tashiyar, putting her right in front of Whoopi Goldberg,
number 12
on the list.
Wow.
I thought I missed that one. And I thought it was a whiff.
She appeared on 35 episodes of TNG, yet still couldn't make an appearance visually on the introduction to Frog Pants All-Stars a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
She said in that recording.
Yep.
Playing with her action figures.
Action figure cam. All right. John DeLancey, old crusty space hands, as Q.
John DeLancey. Q.
He was so spread out. I just don't know if it was enough.
I'm looking to see how many episodes he was on because.
No!
It's not in the top 15.
No!
Yeah.
Should he get extra for being on the first episode and the last?
No.
Oh
yeah,
no.
Do they count? Those are two parts each, so they'll count as extra episodes or no?
They should count.
Well, they would count as two episodes, but he only appeared on a total of 8 episodes, maybe 10 if you include double on the last one and the first one.
But he was always
crazy.
Popping in.
That's crazy.
That was going to be my next answer. He was always popping
really,
in.
Yeah. No.
How'd Majel Barrett do? Are you going to count her as the computer
Majel
voice?
Barrett, of course, because she was the Enterprise computer for 105 episodes.
Oh, that seems cheap.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
That seems
that
cheap.
She's listed high on the IMDb page for that. You've also got James G. Becker, who played either Youngblood or a member of the 10 Forward crew for 40 episodes. He was actually on Star Trek more than Denise Crosby or Whoopi Goldberg. good old James G. Becker. Diana Muldar, Pulaski, 20 episodes, put her at number 14. And Patty Yasutake, who played Nurse Alyssa Ogawa for 16 episodes.
Nurse Ogawa.
That makes sense.
Freaking butthole John DeLancey. Not only is your hand all crusty, but you weren't in nearly enough episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Boy,
what bums me out is James G. Becker doesn't even have a... photo on IMDb. Like he's just got got his Star Trek Next Generation listing. He also appeared on one episode of Webster as, you guessed
Webster?
It, Ensign Youngblood.
Oh, no way.
For the Web Trek episode of Webster, which now is on my film sack list. We have to watch the Web Trek episode of Webster.
Yeah, somebody get that.
Where is Webster even streaming? How can you even get
know.
That?
I don't know, but I'm... At this point, I'll take a Plex friend for this one.
let's see if Just Watch has it. They were looking for Webster the TV series.
Webster the TV series. Google Play has 3 seasons of it, all 3 seasons, but that one you'd have to buy.
Yep, that's it. Webster.
I don't remember him being in on that much. I just don't remember him being TNG that much. I just don't remember him being that much in there.
James G. Becker?
Yeah, was he like in the background? Was he?
Yeah, he played Ensign Youngblood. Like, Let's see if I can find a photo of him. That's why I'm bummed that there wasn't a photo on.
Did he have like speaking lines every time?
This is the first time I've even heard of the guy. I've never even heard of him.
Right.
Young.
Yeah, he must have had a. I would assume he'd have a speaking role.
Oh, here
he is. I recognize him, but I mean, yeah.
There he is. I see him in some photos on IMDb or on Google Images. Ends in Youngblood. Did he ever say anything?
Must have.
I remember this episode where he's. Is that the same actor? Oh, it is. Okay, there was like a Han Solo type dude in that show, and he played. That's the same actor. I don't know if it's the same character or not.
Huh?
But chat room. Oh, he also.
Okay, his only Jonathan Frakes directed an episode where he was in it, and Frakes had Becker deliver his sole line of dialogue. Actually, just one word, gentleman. When he directed the third season episode, The Offspring. So
nice.
Only
nice.
One ever episode. But he was the first assistant director on TNG. I'm sorry. He was a friend of Les Landau, who's the first assistant director on TNG. And
so this is just him getting his buddy on set is what he's doing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea that the actress's name for Dr. Plasky. I had no idea. So that was
no, I wouldn't have gotten
that
her
was one
either.
Of my thoughts, but I was like, I don't know her name.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
He passed away in 2014.
Who did?
Ensign James G. Becker.
He's too young.
He is too young. Yeah.
Something bad happened.
Youngblood.
Something bad happened.
I think so.
Must have been. That's too young. That's weird. He's a young guy.
He was 48.
That's too young.
It is too young.
Yeah. Brian and I'd be dead by now. I don't like thinking about it.
Right. Yeah, there's no details listed as passing. But in any case, sadly.
Mm.
A car accident. Jeez. Okay.
Oh,
was it? How do we know that? Really?
Memory alpha. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's not good.
That's not good at
all. I don't like
so,
any of this.
Anyway.
Oh, no.
All right. I lose. Sorry about that, Sean the Sean. We'll get another chance there, buddy. You're local and we got to stand together, unite. But these prizes will move forward to our next edition, which will be next Monday.
You think that the pick at the beginning of the game is not really important, but honestly, if Scott had went first, I would have went down the same path.
You both had
Q is my next answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's all about luck of the draw. Yeah. Yep. Who you pick first matters. Okay. Well, there you have it. Well done. Done away. Stay out of trouble, will you? All right. Let's put
the car horn on the screen. Might have been the wrong thing to play for that, for just after saying.
Oh,
this
thing. Probably. I didn't mean to.
It was completely unintentional. Oh my gosh.
I didn't think of that at all. I play that every time, you guys.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, now I feel dumb. All right, we're going to take a break because there's no time for news. But we'll have
no time for news, Dr. Jones.
No time for news, but we do have Tom on the other side of this, so stick around. And we'll get to Tom's Tech Time. We also have recommendals today, and we're going to eat some Japanese food later. So it's all exciting stuff coming up here on the Morning Stream. But before we do any of that, Brian will play a song now, please.
Well, and before even I do that, Simon Le Bon is turning 60 at the end of this month. So today's Coverville is going to be Duran Duran. Duran Duran Duran. Scott, can you name the movie in which the name Duran Duran comes from?
It was
a Film Sack movie.
Yeah, and you've told me this before, and I always forget. And then we did the thing on Film Sack, and now I forget. Yep,
he's the villain of Barbarella.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
that's right. I still have sound clips of that guy. He was great.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
All right, your indie in the middle today comes to us from an album that doesn't come out till November 9th, but I'm excited to hear this thing. It's got a very. This is cool. Like it's. Current, but Bauhaus-y kind of sounding, if that makes sense. The guy from Brooklyn, who goes by the name Public Memory. Do we have his? Yeah, Robert Tower, previously of the bands Eras and Apps. The album is called Demolition. It's the intentional destruction of something, usually with the intent to reform or build something new in its place, is his inspiration for that title. The EP comes out November 9th. Make sure you go pick it up. Here is Public Memory and The Line.
There it is. We're right back. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Let's remember the days when you could always get ready to go. Right, guys? Now you can increase your performance and get extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a regular pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, rather. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's B-L-U-E Chew. That's BlueChew.com. And the promo code TMS to try it for free. It's better, cheaper, and a faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's show.
Oh, hello, Wally.
I was wondering if you'd like to go to the Strand to see a movie Saturday night, and then go over to Teen Town, maybe.
Well, yes, I...
Or if you'd rather go with the gang on a skating party and weenie roast, we'd have to leave earlier for that, though.
Doesn't it taste good?
The Morning Stream. You're not immortal. I know your secrets, Phantom.
Hello, everyone. We're back. And we're back. That is so my kind of instrumental music. I could listen
to that kind of stuff
all day.
Yeah, put that in the background. The whole album is like that. Album is going to be coming out, like I said, November 9th. It's called Demolition. Public Memory is the artist name.
Yeah,
on that
I'm all in on that. That's
pre-order
awesome.
It.
Really, really good. Real good. Okay.
I'm calling it an EP. It's 8 songs, so it's somewhere between EP and full album.
So how do you define it? Is there a definition for
it? You know, I usually say EP is anything 5 songs or less.
Yeah.
Or 6 songs or less. So this would be an album. Okay. And plus, it really depends on the length. I mean, Dream Theater can put out an album that's 2 songs in 45 minutes. So that's an album, not an EP.
That's a good point. Well, this is not an EP or an album. It's a this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt. He's the this in this scenario, this equation. Hi, Tom Merritt.
Oh, hello, Brian and Scott.
Hi.
Hello.
It's nice to see you. I hope you're doing well.
It's good to see you, too.
Yeah? Are you doing well? Are you having a good week? Things going all right?
Man, I am, actually. My roof sprung a leak, which doesn't sound like a good leak. Mm. But then the roof guy came yesterday and was like, oh, yeah, this shouldn't be too bad to fix.
Oh, well, then that's
good.
So
that just made my week all the much better.
Yeah, I love it when something could be worse than it is, and then you find out it's nothing really, or it's.
I mean,
small.
I'd rather not have the leak at all, and it's not in the main roof. It's we've got this little enclosed porch thing, so it was out there.
Yeah,
not super damaging or anything.
It's like when a doctor says, "We're not sure if that's a tumor on your leg," and then later they say, "Oh no, that's just pepperoni from when you sat on." Yeah, I like that.
And you're like, shouldn't you have known that?
feels like you should have known that the minute we first met.
So you just popped it in your mouth and been like, pepperoni.
Well, those tests make him a lot of money. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, also, if it was a tumor and he popped it in his mouth, it is.
Ooh, yeah. That's a horrible way to test tumors.
I don't like the direction that this tech news is going.
Brand new technology. Taste the tumor. Diagnose the patient.
It's not a pepperoni.
There you go.
Taste the tumor. Diagnose the tumor.
That's right.
It's the Skittles new slogan.
Fantastic. Well, speaking of technology, Tom is here for the latest and greatest in tech news. He is, of course, the purveyor of the Daily Tech News Show, which happens every day. It's a fantastic show, and they do a rundown of all the news and help it make sense for you, the listener, and the viewer. Today is no different. Tom Merritt, what's going on in the world?
Well, there's lots of interesting things going on. Chrome 70 is out, which includes progressive web apps on Windows. Mm. And progressive web apps you could use in the Microsoft Edge browser up until now, but you couldn't use them on Chrome till now. And if you don't know what progressive web apps are, but you do know what Chrome apps were before they got rid of them, it's that. Progressive web apps is a standard for the same kind of thing that Chrome web apps are. So essentially, they run in the browser, but you never see them in the browser. You never see tabs or address bars, and they can even have icons in the start menu and stuff like that. So they look like they're just regular old apps, which has been something I've ever since Netscape Constellation in 1997. I've had this idea that the browser could exist like that, because then theoretically you can run an app on any operating system and it doesn't matter. Now, this is only in the Chrome version for Windows, so we're not quite to that lovely future yet, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I got done just recently playing with the early invite stage. I don't know, I guess it's a beta or whatever, of the Chrome game streaming service they're going to do.
Oh yeah, right.
And that's another example of something that you used to always think that would be really cool, if one day our browsers could be the window to things that are well beyond a browser's normal thought of capabilities, like browsing the web, checking your email, and that sort of stuff. And that was like a seamless, amazing experience. It was really, I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey via a Chrome browser on a crappy notebook and ran it at, you know, as long as I had the internet, it looked great. Now, I know that there have been plenty of streaming services up till now, and that's nothing new in particular, but this was so seamless and easy and running on a browser that it just made me go, oh, just imagine the possibilities. Like the future really could be that this, you know, browsers are the window to everything else. And why not? And I think they maybe know that. And so that's why they continue to roll out things like this. I mean, who doesn't want to be on top of the pile that you know, when browsers become they're back to being the number one way you do anything. Like, I could see why Google would want that in Chrome. And I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they're doing a standard.
The dream has been, for me anyway, I don't know about anybody else, that as graphical user interfaces replaced DOS and the command line, well, maybe not even replaced, but sort of, you know, made the command line sort of an option that you could use if you wanted to, browsers might do the same to the GUI. Where it's like, hey, you know, we'll just do everything in here. Mm-hmm. I've thought that was going to happen for 20 years. I think that's long enough for me to just be wrong. Mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean it won't happen someday.
Keep holding out.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Don't you feel like that just ends up being like it's just a confluence of when does the technology, when does the bandwidth, when does all of these things come together? It's like, well, why wasn't there a YouTube in 1998? Well, because we didn't have the bandwidth for something like YouTube. Right. So maybe it's just all finally coming together, and your 20-year prediction was just needed all those things to come together.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, you need the bandwidth to make online services like you're talking about work.
Right.
You need the functionality to make progressive web apps work. And there have been a lot of attempts at that, but it's never been quite as easy as doing apps. That's why we have the App Store. Steve Jobs believed that web apps would be the platform for the iPhone when they launched the iPhone, or at least he said he did. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, they brought us the App Store because, well, guess what? Native apps still outperform web. So
there was a time where you could install web pages as buttons on your, I mean, I know you still can.
Yeah.
But it feels like that came before the App Store, didn't it? Where you could say, oh, I like this web page, I'm going to make a button out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was it, right? Wasn't that their attempt to say, hey, look, it's like a web app.
At least that was his pitch, was like, you don't need an app store because you can do all this stuff. And and some companies very rarely have made good use of that. Financial Times didn't have an app in the App Store. They just made one of those, and it worked really well. You would never have known it wasn't an app if you didn't know, which you had to know because that's the only way to install it.
But it really does come down to when does the technology make it fast and you know, multi-case usable, and maybe we're just now getting to the place where that's the case with browsers.
It's a combination of tech and sort of I don't know what the right word for it is, but willingness, you know, standards-based operation. It's not that you can't make web apps that are super functional and do what people want. It's you know, people are like, well, but it's easier for me to just make my native app than spend a lot of time helping you develop a standard. So progressive web apps have taken a long time to get to this point, but now they are there on Windows. It would be great if Linux support came from Chrome. It would be great if macOS supported progressive web apps easily in the same standard at some point. But you know, that's where it usually breaks down, because a company like Apple says, well, we like that idea, but we want to do it our way because we want to continue to own the platform.
Right. I can imagine a future though with like really thin client and having something like the Adobe CC subscription and not having to have the apps. I mean, it sounds crazy to me right now because I don't think I would do it right now, but I could see a day where maybe that would make sense so that I could access Photoshop on, you know, through a browser. And I, maybe this game experience last week really helped hammer this home, because what I was experiencing wasn't like some border and a thing embedded in a browser. It didn't feel like that. It felt like full screen Assassin's Creed Odyssey running at all high settings.
Yeah.
And if you can do that there, imagine what you could do with other applications, productivity applications and whatever.
Right.
Even easily, it's probably even an easier idea to have that kind of stuff streaming, so the services we're paying for no longer includes filling up your hard drive full of software. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, right. I'm all about this. This could be a really good topic today, in fact. We'll see, I guess.
Well, we talked about half of it yesterday. Patrick Beja did a great job kind of lining out why game streaming services are about to become real options for people. We might make it part two today. Like, okay, what about not game streaming services? Because one of the things he brought up that I thought was really, really relevant is games are harder to do than video, right? You can have a cloud-based video service like Netflix because latency doesn't matter. You can cache a few things. You can fake it to make it look like you're streaming even though you're really not. And that kind of pastes over any latency or bandwidth issues you might have so that your video still streams smooth. You can't do that with video games. You have to have it as low latency as possible. You have to have it real time. And the fact that they're solving that could make things like Office and Photoshop more likely. In fact, there's a company called Blade that bills itself as a game company because you can keep your Steam library on it, but it also says, well, you can also run Office on it if you want, because it's just a Windows machine in the cloud that we provide, you know, really low latency access to.
Is that French one, the French company?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was super interesting. I haven't followed up on that, see how that is going for people, but yeah, I feel like I think we're all kidding ourselves if we don't think this is at least some massive part of the future of all of this.
Right. It may not replace everything, but it could, you know, the way subscription services have replaced, the way subscription services have become the predominant offering for software, even though you can still buy downloadable versions in a lot of cases, maybe streaming becomes the next step up that ladder.
I think it might. And so much more on the table today for the Daily Tech News Show, which I'll be on today, 2:30 Mountain Time. Very, very excited to be on today, as always. I love Wednesdays. Tom, is there anything else that we should talk about before we go?
Yes. The monthly video game briefing is a new show out of the DTNS labs. It has graduated, starring Patrick Beja and Scott Johnson, talking about just these sorts of things once a month. If you like video games, but you feel like some of those video game shows out there are way too hardcore, you're like, I just like to play them. I don't need to know every single little nitty gritty thing about them all the time. This is the show for you. It's the high level look that helps you understand the gaming world better. So check it out at dailytechnewsshow.com/MVGB. Stands for monthly video game.
And it's really fun. Patrick and I have a great time on that. And I like the perspective that we're taking on it, specifically for a tech audience. So do check it out and see what you guys think. We have another one coming up in November, of course. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter, dailytechnewsshow.com. Have a fantastic rest of your morning, and we'll see you at 2:30.
Thanks. Talk to you then.
Bye now. Wait. Bye now. Wait. Okay, there we go. there we do. There we do. There we go. All right. Now, there's one guy listening to the show right now who emailed me and said, hey, every time you have Nicole on, you play her intro and it blows my ears out. He says this guy.
Oh.
So I want to play it now because I've reduced it. And I want him to call him back and tell me if he thinks this is fine. Nicole's not here today, but I want to play it so that, you know, this guy can test his ears. So here we go. That is substantially lower than it usually is. I just need your feedback. Mm-hmm. Is it too quiet now? Is it just right? Is it still too loud? Still loud, says the chat room.
Still loud. It definitely isn't louder, Gutters at all.
Oh,
I'd say
louder.
It's about 10%, 15%. quieter.
Yeah, that's about what it is. It's about 15%. Mm-hmm. I think you're dead on. That's what I changed it. I can go further. I just wanted to see. You know, I'm trying to. Right. I try to. You know, you guys think that you can just reach out with these individual questions and they'll get ignored. We pay attention to what you guys, your feedback. If there's mm-hmm. something weird going on, I want it to be good. Simply E Squared says it's louder than everything else. Do you mean in the world or what do you mean there, buddy? Anyway, he says all my intros are loud, says Jedi 71. Well, look, for a guy who's only the 71st Jedi, I'm not sure I could be taking you seriously.
Exactly, yes. Tell when you move up to number 65 on the list, when you move up to number top 50, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. 71. All right, we're going to play, or not play, we're going to have some fun here. We're going to talk about streaming stuff that we're into. Brian always begins the festivities, and he will do so today. Brian, do you want to set up
your
clip?
And I will say two things before the clip I brought. I'm about halfway through Cobra Kai, which is on YouTubered. Mm.
YouTubered.
YouTubered.
why have I not heard that before? That's really good.
And I'm totally loving it. Definitely worth checking out. And we just finished season two of Ozark last night. And I mean, if they end the show there, I'm happy. But I really hope there's a third season.
Oh, okay, so good. I love the first one. I just need to get to it.
Yeah, second season. Whew.
Really?
Anyway.
Some stuff goes down, eh? All right.
Stuff goes down. Stuff goes down every episode of that.
All right.
Let's get to my clip. I don't think I want to set any of this up because I already had to cut it short because it just goes into something that totally gives it away. Mm. So if you know it from this, great, and we'll see what happens.
All right. I'm going to play it now. Let's see what happens.
Sir, I know I don't come for much, but I will take care of your daughter and I will give her life as grand as this one.
Bye, Mother.
She'll be back. Sooner or later, she'll tire of your life, of having nothing, and she'll come running back home.
I'm going to guess Van. No, I'm going to say it's that Greatest Showman deal, right?
The what?
Greatest Showman.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to recognize Hugh Jackman. That is Hugh Jackman and The Greatest Showman, a film inspired by P.T. Barnum and the creation of the Barnum and Bailey Circus. Maybe not factually accurate, but a lot of fun and a lot of good music in there. It's interesting. This one kind of starts to veer, for me anyway, into Baz Luhrmann territory without having the weird covers of popular current songs. Mm. It's got that almost steampunky, no, more like the Red Velvet Curtain kind of feel to it. Mm. The modernized Red Velvet Curtain, like Moulin Rouge had, and Strictly Ballroom and stuff like that. It is streaming currently on HBO Go, and actually, you know, I'm not a massive musical guy, but I do like the occasional musical, and I like this. Mm. Zac Efron's in it. Michelle Williams plays the wife of Venom, but also seems to play the wife of P.T. Barnum.
Wow, she gets around.
I guess not the wife of Venom.
No, the whatever she wears, yeah. I didn't see Venom. So
Zendaya.
Oh, everyone loves the Zendaya.
Zendaya, but Mary Jane Watson.
Yeah, she was good in Spider-Man. I liked her in that.
Yeah, anyway, she's in this as well. She's really good. You could do a lot worse than watching The Greatest Showman. I think it's a good solid 2-hour bit of entertainment. Like super bombastic, super spectacular, and crank up the speakers because the music is really, really good.
How's the chat room says there? Okay, Killer Monarch says it's okay. It only has 3 songs in it, and they just keep repeating them. Is that true?
No, it's got like it's got like a dozen songs. You get the A Million Dreams is kind of the through line, and you hear a little bit of that. That's where that section that I pulled kind of comes out of the song called A Million Dreams. There's the This Is Me, which is that big song with the bearded lady, kind of made her a real breakout star, put her on the the Oscar stage, singing that for the best song. Of course, The Greatest Show, which is the kind of the theme song to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Come Alive, which I think is the one with Zach and Hugh Jackman in the bar singing to each other. So it's there's 10 songs listed in the on the soundtrack. I'm sorry, 11 songs listed, and only one of them is a reprise. So there's a bunch of songs. Kill 'em a Rock.
Yeah,
or
take
said that.
Yeah, he did. Genie says, hated it so much, I turned it off within 3 minutes.
Well, Genie, I think, is she's a big fan of the original musicals, right? Like the Rodgers and Hammerstein and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's not. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I liked that it was kind of a fantasy reimagining of the story of P.T. Barnum. And
who plays Bailey? Does anyone pay Bailey for the Barnum and Bailey circus?
Oh, no. That seems like the weird thing, right? You think that like it would be him meeting Bailey. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. Yes. Zac Efron's character is Philip Carlyle, who's based on Bailey.
Oh,
but
okay.
I guess they want to go the Barnum and Cartwright, Carlisle.
Cartwright! I say it 3 times. You know, come. I hang
was
up.
Waiting for somebody to be introduced as Bailey, and I guess, okay, that was the Zac Efron character.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see this. Why not?
Yeah. There's a cover album coming out, as Rick Fu points out. It's got Panic at the Disco, Pink,
Hank
Sarah
P.
Bareilles.
Hank P. Lovecraft says, I turned it off in 4 seconds. Horrible, says. why is the people so split on this movie? I've heard this before. I've heard people that really dislike it, and then there are people who adore it. I don't know what this.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but hey, your mileage may differ.
Yeah, I mean, how'd that thing do on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm just curious here. Let's see. The Greatest Showman, is that it?
The Greatest Showman, yeah.
Showman. Here we go. The Greatest Showman, 2017. That movie did. Oh, only 56. So exactly split.
Well, there you go, right in the pretty close to the middle. Yeah, I mean, Golden Globes had it as one of their nominees for best musical or comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the Oscars for best original song.
Yeah, the historians now agree Barnum wasn't the one who said "there's a sucker born every minute." But it's hard to escape the feeling that you're being sold one of those bill of goods here. And then there, yeah, it's a right down the middle kind of thing. I'm still going to see it. I'm going to take Brian. Brian and I usually share similar tastes. I'm going to see if I like it or not. And I can't imagine a movie that you only saw 4 seconds of that you turned off. I feel like you're lying.
Opening credit, like they show The Greatest Showman. Nope, done.
Nope, I'm out. Like, why would you? Yeah. I need to know more about why you do that.
Hey, listen, if you've already got HBO Go or HBO Now, whichever one you've got, or you have a cable system still and you're subscribed to HBO, whatever. It's right there. You can watch it and see how long you last in The Greatest Showman.
Fantastic. All right. Here's mine. Let's see if you can figure this out in a heartbeat. It's just too easy, but I'm so happy that it's where it is and I'm loving it. Here you go.
What do you want?
What I was told outside.
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot droppings.
What?
Shut your festering gob, you tit! Your type makes me you vacuous, toffee-nosed, malodorous pervert!
What? I came in here for an argument!
Oh, I'm sorry, this is abuse.
Oh. I see, that explains it.
Oh, yeah. No, you want 12A next door.
I see. Yeah. Sorry.
Not at all. No, that's all right. Stupid git.
All right.
All right. So obviously that's Argument Clinic, Monty Python. But that sounds like it was the newer one that was at the Comedy Festival a few years ago.
This is the original.
Telluride?
Just the old one.
Oh, really?
Yep. This is the original one from the show Monty Python's Flying Circus, which is now in its entirety on Netflix.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So I've been having that kind of going in the background here and there and enjoying the hell out of it. There's also a little supplementary series hosted by... What's that guy's last name's Bonneville? He was in the I can't think of his name.
Chrysler.
No. No, he's in the show the Downton Abbey. He was the Lord of the Manor. Anyway, for some reason he's hosting it. Hugh Bonneville, that's it. You think I would remember that with Hugh Jackman on my mind, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's called, I forgot, Best Bits, I think, and it's like a series of, they talk to famous comedians, British and American, whoever, about their favorite, most influential skits that they would see on Monty Python. Like Jim Carrey talks about why one in particular just changed his whole life and how he knew he was getting into comedy because of it. And they have everybody from him to Seth Green to like Seth Green credits the Robot Chicken style on what's his name's cartoons. Can't think of his name.
Palin. No. Or not Palin. Yeah, Brazil director, Baron Munchausen director.
Freaking Terry Gilliam. Jeez, it was hard to get out.
That's right, yes.
Alexa, shut up. Why are you talking to me?
It's so funny because here in that clip, I was so familiar with all the studio recordings, all the albums, all the Monty Python albums, that hearing the live version or hearing that version, the TV show version, is like, oh, that's got to be the newer one because, you know, it doesn't sound as clean and polished as the studio version, which probably came way after the TV show.
I love the studio ones. They were, what was that one that was a big compilation, like four CDs called?
It was great. Yeah, it came out in the 2000s, I think.
Ripoff, the big ripoff or something. And it was like guts on the front with like a slice, like a whatever it was. Anyway, that is a fantastic collection if anyone ever gets their hands on it. And it's all your favorite stuff.
The final ripoff.
Final ripoff. Yeah. I think it was the last album thing that ever got put out, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I loved that collection. I'll bet that's probably streaming and stuff.
It's
all on there. You can also get Life of Brian currently, and I don't know. I didn't check for other movies, but just kind of in a mood for Monty Python sensibilities right now, and it's totally, totally whetting that appetite. No, that's not right. It's totally fulfilling that need there.
Yeah, that does. There you go.
Yeah. Netflix, that's where it's at. It's there now. It's in their little trending now area or whatever.
Cool. Can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah, and they've got some original something coming soon, Monty Python related, that they signed with Netflix, which I think is why they ended up with all this content, because Netflix made some deal and they got all the Python content, so...
Wow.
I don't know.
Who have we lost from just Chapman, Graham Chapman?
That's it. Chapman, but Terry
is still with us. And,
yeah. Terry, what's his name? The other Terry.
Terry Jones.
Jones is in the final stages of horrible dementia. Oh. But other than that, I think just Chapman is the only one that's passed.
Now is the time for them to do something. If they're going to do it.
If they're going to do anything, get in there, you guys. You guys are the most amazing, most influential people in the history of comedy. So, well done. All right, that's it for your recommendals. Brian, I think we should eat a thing.
Okay.
And
you play the sound while I get my box.
Okay, that sounds great to me. Here's our new, let's see.
Don't crush.
No.
It's fun to eat supper with your family, especially when there is good food on the table. They are good foods to eat.
That's right. Even Japanese stuff. Hold on a second. Or maybe especially Japanese stuff. Okay.
All right.
I got a box here. And you want to pick this time? I picked last time.
Yes. Did you get potato chips that look like, maybe pizza flavored?
Oh, yeah, I did.
All right, let's do that.
Okay. What is this A, B, and C thing on the side? Is that how to do it?
Oh, no. Are there instructions on how to eat potato chips? Japanese have figured out everything.
I know. The Japanese, man, they just have it all covered.
No, it looks like if you buy enough of these, you for 100 points, you can get an iPhone case.
Oh.
Or if you buy even more... It's like some sort of inflatable thing that you can plug in. There's a plug on one corner of that.
Look at the backside where it says, it shows the case and a bunch of Japanese characters, and it says, cool! And then the next one says, nice!
I don't know if I have that.
Do you not
have
that?
Oh, down there
back?
At the bottom, yes.
Yeah,
in
the rear.
See it now.
It's also
and
the
it's like statues. Isn't that a statue person?
I don't know what that's
Isn't
about.
Isn't that Michelangelo's David?
Yeah, and they're all wearing...
Like...
Oh, they're in a sleeping bag? I don't know what's going on. That's funky. All right. This says to sell these by 11/26/18, so we're good.
Ooh, barely.
Yeah. We just made it in.
Ooh! Smells like I just put my face in Little Caesar.
Oh! That's skunky, isn't it? A little? It's a little skunky.
No, I think it just smells like pizza flavorings.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Chat room, this is the bag. I'll hold it up here. Oops, wrong one. Here's the, as usual, it's mostly air. And some chips at the bottom, about that much.
But at least these chips have held together. So
yeah, they've held together. And on the front is a pizza being pulled with like a bunch of cheese. We assume cheese flavor. And on the back is all that weird business with the statues and a sleeping bag thing and cool and neat and all that. Anyway, so here goes. Should we do it? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm trying to find a whole one. They're all kind of mangled.
Oh, really? Mine's great condition. Mint.
Mint?
Would buy from again. A++++.
Sweet.
I will lick it for Cleo.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it tastes like cheese pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it clearly tastes like cheese pizza, not pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
Which the front of the bag clearly shows pepperoni pizza.
I mean, maybe I'm getting a twinge of pepperoni, maybe. These are good, though.
Mm, they are good. I'll probably eat this whole bag.
They're stinky, but they're good.
And sadly, because it's all in Japanese, I can't read the nutrition facts, so I don't know how many calories I might be ingesting in here.
Yeah, probably, let's see, are there numbers here? Let's see. Yeah, they don't, 348 calories per serving.
Oh.
It's on the back. You can see the...
And this is what, like 11 servings in this bag?
Let's see, 348 kcal. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, okay. Kcals is the same thing. It's
okay.
Like some places will describe it as energy or something like that.
If you guys want to check this out, you can find it at calbee.co.jp, which is calbee.co.jp.
Yeah, I can't tell the rest of it. We've got 3.5 grams of something, 21.7 grams of something, 34.7 grams of something.
It's a lot of grams of something.
A lot of grams of something.
Space calories, Captain Kipper. You are correct.
That's right.
All right. That's that. Mm-mm, good. Tomorrow, Thursday, TMS will be... Wendy will be here. Now, last week, y'all got wimpy and didn't call in. It may be that the phones still don't work by then, so we may do an email. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to figure something out. I also thought about doing, like, you know, we do Ask TMS.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we do... Ask, you know, hashtag Ask Wendy or something.
Oh, yeah, right. And then we have kind of quick fire.
Yeah, then we can have stuff. At least we have stuff if I can't get my phone crap worked out. This appears to be a audio codec change in Mojave, macOS Mojave, and it's pissing me off.
Well, let me know if you need me to help you troubleshoot that later today.
Sounds good to me. All right, everybody.
Maybe we do an impromptu TMS call now at some point between Coverville and whatever's going on later this afternoon.
Yeah, that's not bad. I guess it depends on how much DTNS pulls me away. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, let's now leave. And to do so, we must have a song to leave. So leave me with a song, Brian. What do you got?
We talked to him earlier in the show. Nomic wrote in and said, I started playing the ukulele over 2 years ago and find it quite fun and therapeutic. Dude, I agree. I need to get back into playing the ukulele. I like hearing uke songs or uke takes on songs I like. Thanks. Says Nomic.
Oh,
right. So he just wants a ukulele cover. Happy to do it. I've got a lot of great stuff. I've played tons of Lucky Uke on this show before. They're awesome. Go find some Lucky Uke if you're not familiar with them, or listen to old episodes of TMS and hear those. The Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain is another great one to listen to. But I'm going to play something from Pearl Jam frontman Eddie Vedder, who in 2011 released an album. Just him and a ukulele, and it was called, appropriately enough, Ukulele Songs. Eddie Vedder does a bunch of covers on there, but also has a bunch of originals. This, of course, is one of the Vedders, or I'm sorry, one of the covers. They're all Vedders. This is More Than You Know, originally done by Mayo Methot. Here is Eddie Vedder.
More than you know. get, maybe all that you can give, but I can't live without it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
How to boil water.